Good evening, everybody. Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you again tonight. Oh, what a beautiful day it is. I know it looks like there's going to be some storms sooner or later, but I pray you've been able to enjoy the sunlight and just able to enjoy your day. Thankful that you've made time to be with us this evening. And I just want to be honest with you. I miss you. I'm ready for us to be back together and worshiping together as brothers and sisters in Christ, but to God be the glory. He's still in control and He still knows what He's doing. So before we go any further, I do want to just say again, welcome, and let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You for this day. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that You're in control and You're on the throne. And God, we know there's a lot going on, a lot's up in the air, but Lord, You're still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. God, I ask You right now for Your Spirit to be in our midst. I'm thankful that You've promised where two or more are gathered, there You'll be. But also, Lord, You're able to span the distance. You're able to use the internet, Facebook, different things, Zoom, all those different things. You're able to bring us together through that. And so, God, I ask You right now to forgive me of my sins. I thank You, Lord, again, that You've called me, You've saved me, and You keep me. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Before we get going tonight, we just want to remind you, number one, that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open up your life and your heart to Him today, He'll do even greater things. And tonight, God willing, we're going to be finishing up the second chapter in 1 Thessalonians. And so you can go ahead and be turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And also, you might want to text somebody or call somebody and tell them it's church time. You don't have to get dressed up. You can even come in your pajamas, but just go to Thomas Village Facebook page and have them worship with us. Tonight, we're going to sing our older one, but a goodie. Oh, what is it? Oldie but a goodie. In the Baptist hymnal, it is Standing on the Promises, page 335. Page 335. So if you know it, sing with us, okay? Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of life and fear assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ken. It make you sound a little bit better. What a wonderful thing it is to know tonight that we do have a place of firmness, a place of stability, and that is the Word and the truth of Christ Jesus. The Bible says that He is a firm foundation, and those that are smart, those that are wise, build upon Him. And all things else other than His truth is shifting sands. And so tonight, while we look around this world around us and the boogeyman of fear tries to lurk around every corner, we can take faith in the fact that Jesus Christ is on the throne. Also, we're looking forward to the Sunday as you're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This Wednesday, we're here that the time during Christ's life where it was getting very serious as He was looking to the cross in about 24 hours or less. And so the old saying is, it's Wednesday, but Sunday's coming. And so we do want to invite you this Sunday, April the 12th at 11 o'clock to come. And we're going to have a drive-in service that day. You come up here, you won't have to get out of your car. We're going to have some folks here to try to make sure we can get as many vehicles in here as we can. And we're just going to testify to one another and to the world around us that even in the midst of a worldwide plague, Christ Jesus still means something to us, and that His resurrection has changed our eternity. So as you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, there are some praise reports that I'd like for us to give today. One, God is on the throne and He's in control. Praise God, He is still in control. And you know, what He's doing, we don't understand. And the Bible teaches us that His ways are above our ways and His thoughts are above our thoughts. But He has a purpose and a plan for all that's going on right now in America, in Scott County, and all over the world. Also, I just want to say how blessed I was today. If you don't know, the school district in Scott County, one of the places that they're doing the lunch program is here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And so about, I guess it was about 11 o'clock today, I came up here. I practiced my social distancing, but it was wonderful to see activity in the church's parking lot, just people coming and going. And it just gives you hope that before too long, we're going to be back together worshiping and stronger in our faith with Christ. Also, I want to say thank you to Sister Tammy and Brother Wayne and the Bledsoe family, trying to find different ways to minister to people around us, even though we really can't have contact with them. They put together 85 mini Easter baskets with some candy and some treats and a gift. But also in 65 of them was the resurrection story. And so we were sending out the good news of Christ. And I was here today able to witness the last one being given out to a young man and his mother. You've probably heard that there has been two confirmed cases in Scott County of the COVID-19, but still, if you look around us in the four counties that are around us, Lee, Wise, Scott, and Russell, still, we're only about 9 or 10 in that whole area. And if we are smart and everything, everybody practices their social distancing, then it shouldn't be too much more. But also, I was in the doctor's office today, and they had these signs up on the wall kind of teaching you about COVID-19 and how to handle it. And one of the things that it was brought a joy to my heart and a little bit of piece is that it said that the majority of people will not get it, and those that do, for the majority of them, it will be a mild case. So praise God for that. Also, I just want to thank the Lord for all that He's done for me and the time that He's given me with my children and my son, my daughter. Maddie, you know, she turned 16, and yesterday she was out driving, and I was with her as she practiced, and just a wonderful time being with her. And so we give God the praise and the glory for that. Right now, we do want to go into a time of prayer. You know, our Wednesday night services are known as a midweek prayer service. And, you know, when we're all able to come together, we try to at least take one Wednesday night out of the month and just make it all about prayer. But as we lift up those prayer needs, we specifically want to remember the lost, the backslidden, marriages, and those that are depressed. Also, you've heard me call out some names this week and probably wondering what's wrong with these individuals. Well, a lot of them are just some of our ladies that live by themselves and just want to be mindful of calling them and checking on them. We're told that pure religion and undefiled is to love God and to check on the widows and the orphans. And so, but tonight we want to remember the Elizabeth Wardrop family. This is Brother Pat Fuller's brother-in-law's mother that passed on. And so we want to pray for them and continue to pray for Brother Pat and the family and the loss of Miss Fuller. Also, some of you may have heard, but Sister Marlene Swanson had to go to the ER Monday with a bad kidney stone and ended up having to have surgery then and there. I think Brother Rick told me that he spent from 5 o'clock till about 8:30 while they were working on her. But I've talked with them today, and she's on the mend, and just continue to pray for them. Also, we want to continue to pray for the Tommy Mullins family, Santana and Craig and Sister Alma. We just want to continue to lift them up and pray for them. Sickness. Also, Megan Moore. This is a family friend of mine. Her daddy, Stevie Moore, I was his pastor in Georgia, but yesterday, she's a 16, 17-year-old, a junior in high school. She got in a wreck, and her ankle popped out of socket and come through the skin, and she had to have surgery last night, but praise God, she come through it well. But want to continue to pray for Megan Moore, Stevie and Candy Moore. Also, Ruth Roten, and then also Miss Becky Hayes, a pastor friend of mine down in Georgia, Jared Johnson. This is his youth pastor's mother. She has the COVID-19, and she is in the hospital. I've not heard news from her today, but she was needing great prayer. And then also her son, Scott Hayes, who is at this time the youth minister, but he's going to be leaving for Peru, going on a mission and being the life of a missionary. We want to pray for Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields. Continue to pray for Brother J.C. Starnes and his back. He has been at work this week, but he's still dealing with some discomfort. And also be praying for Brother J.C. As you know, Mondays and Fridays at 6 o'clock, we have our time of devotion and prayer, and Brother J.C. is going to be leading us this Friday night at 6 o'clock. Let's continue to pray for Sister Rhonda Smith and Miss Patricia, Peggy DeBoard, Sister Moselle, Sister Ruth Bowen, Sister Patty, Sister Helen, Sister Ruth, Miss Osborne, Sister Hazel, and Sister Jeanette Carter, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson. Continue to pray for Brother Jay and Sister Ruby Keck, Sister Phyllis and Brother Hoyt Bledsoe, Kent Smith. Sunday, we know that he was in the hospital. We don't know what's going on since then, but want to continue to pray for him. This is Brother Otis's brother-in-law, and then also Sister Liza Fletcher, Henrietta Roach, Bobby and June Jesse, Sister Margaret and Brother Chet Wheeler, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, Danny Smith, and your deacons, and other men that are going to be filling the pulpit for some of our devotion and prayer. Also, I recognize that while life is going on, you still have prayer needs. You still have issues that come up. So if you do have a prayer need, send it to me in a text or put it to us in an email or maybe on Facebook Messenger, and we'll get you on this time of prayer. And if you have a praise report, do come and be a part of that. Let us know what God is doing in your life. I talked with someone this week, and their job has kindly cut them back, going from 5 days a week to maybe two. But then they said, "Praise God, I'm on salary." So I mean, just God is good, and He's faithful. We also want to remember our federal, state, and health emergency workers. As you know, we really, really need to be in prayer right now. And it's a time for us to slow down. It's a time for us to consider the state of our country and to see how greatly we need Christ Jesus. Not just that He is the great physician and that He can take this plague and wipe it away and it'd be gone at the mention of His voice, but also that we need Jesus in our lives, period. He is the Savior and He is our only hope for eternity. That's why we're looking so forward to this Sunday and coming together, even if we don't get to talk very much, just to see one another will mean a lot. So we're praying there. As of about 5:10 p.m. today, the coronavirus, the COVID-19, nationally has been confirmed in 425,107 individuals. And of that number, 14,262 have passed away. And then in the state of Virginia, there's been 3,426 that have been confirmed to have COVID-19. And since Monday, there's been a large jump. The last time I looked Monday, it was at 54 deaths, and today it's at 75. That's 21 people in our state in just about 48 hours. And so now we just want to stop, and we want to have a time of prayer. And I challenge you, wherever you're at, to stop and just slow down a little bit and join together with us, me and Brother Ken. I know that our deacons are watching. There's others. And I want to pray for Brother Paul Arwood today as well. Lift him up, special need. But let's just stop and take some time and tell Jesus where our hearts is at tonight. We're going to have a few moments of silence, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I come before You tonight and I confess to You my sins. I confess to You, Lord, that no matter how much I would try, there's nothing in me that makes me worthy of coming to You. But God, I am thankful today that You loved me, that You loved me first in spite of who I was, in spite of the life that I've lived, in spite of the wickedness that abide within me. You loved me. God, You sent Your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, I thank You tonight as we're looking ahead to the cross. And as we've read tonight with Brother J.C., that the stress was so great on You that the anxiety caused You to sweat drops of blood. And in the midst of that, You prayed, "Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup pass away or pass from me. But Thy will be done." God, I'm thankful for a faithful Savior. I'm thankful that Jesus was not given to backing down. He was not given to letting the flesh win, but He willingly, the Bible says, endured the cross and despised the shame for the glory and the joy that was set before Him. And that was pleasing the Father and bringing hundreds of millions to salvation. And so God, it's in His name that we come to You tonight. It's by His power and His work that we come to You. And Lord, these names, as we've thought about the lost today, the backslidden. Lord, those that need Jesus, and there's so many today, there's going to be many that pass into eternity not knowing. And so, God, right now I ask in Jesus' name, recognizing that no man comes unless you call him through the Holy Ghost and through the Word. So, God, I pray right now, please call the lost to salvation, and that today will be their day of salvation, God, and that they'll come to know you. Lord, I pray for those marriages that the devil is fighting against. He's trying to tear it apart in the midst of uncertainty and questionable circumstances. Lord, the home is teetering to and fro. And so, God, I pray tonight that you'll let the husband's heart be drawn to the wife, and let the wife's heart be drawn to the husband, and that both the husband and wife, their hearts will be drawn to Jesus. I pray for those tonight that are depressed. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you just let the light and the love of Jesus shine in their life, whether it be through a phone call, whether it be through a scripture, whether it be through some Christian just making contact with them, maybe by internet or a text, Lord, whatever. But Lord, we just pray for them. Pray for those that are suicidal tonight, Heavenly Father, especially our military men, as that is one of the top reasons for death with our military men. God, I pray for those that are burdened by the loss of family, the Wardrop family, God. I pray for them. And there's others, Heavenly Father, Lord, that are fresh. The loss is flesh. And even some, Lord, that it's been years, but that womb is still there. We pray, God, that your peace through the Holy Spirit will be there. God, we thank you that Sister Marlena is doing better, and Lord, that she is coming out over her surgery. We pray you continue to bless her, and we pray for Brother Tommy and Sister Alma and the family there, and you know that need. And for Megan, we give you praise, God, that you've already done a great work there. For Miss Becky Hayes, that's in the hospital in Waycross, Georgia right now. God, won't you, through the person of the Holy Spirit, Lord, just remove this sickness from her lungs and let the oxygen begin to flow in her body as it should. And we pray for her son, Scott, who is looking to take his family to Peru before very long. But Lord, right now I know his mind and his hearts are there with his mother. And so we pray for them. God, we pray for Levi Lynn and Donnie Fields, for Brother J.C. and his back. And then, Lord, also all our widows and our widowers and those that are living alone and those that are health compromised, physically compromised in this time. Lord, I pray you keep them safe. I pray you give them a boldness and a knowledge to know when they need to call somebody that can come and help them. Lord, we pray and we ask you to be with our emergency workers and our health workers as we were in the doctor's office today, and just everyone wearing masks and gloves. But Lord, we know there's no protection unless the protection comes from you. And so, God, we pray for them tonight. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for those that have the coronavirus, those 425,107 people across America, Lord, that are sick, and some are near death, Heavenly Father, Lord. I pray that you give them peace and comfort. And then those that have lost their life, the 14,262 that are on the that have gone on into eternity, God, I pray for their family and ask you to be with them. And we pray for those 75 Virginians that have lost their lives. And God, I ask you to be with them. But Lord, again, I thank you for this day. Thank you that you've given us this time to come together. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And Lord, everything that we do here at Thomas Village, whether it be giving out food through the Hope Center, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Awana, Sunday school, whatever, a worm program, let it all be done for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us never forget that if we lose Him, then Lord, we're no longer a church. We're just simply a recreational building. But God, you have called us to be your children, and so let us lift up your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, as you're turning to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, again, I want to remind you, do get us your prayer needs. Do send us your praise reports. But as you're turning to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, I want to go over a few announcements with you. And I promise that I won't keep you long tonight, okay? Don't forget, Sunday, April the 12th, we're planning, and so far nothing has changed, but we're planning on having a resurrection parking lot service. And if you'll come, I know that Amy has been having a Sunday school class at 9:30 to 10:30. This Sunday, that will be postponed so that everybody can get to where they need to be if they're going to come. But come be a part of that. And I've got something I'm going to ask you to do. As you've noticed, I've kindly been just kindly honey dipping with the music and just singing some oldies. But I tell you what, if you'll send me some recommendations on what we'll sing. Now, you got to be mindful that not everybody's going to have a Baptist hymnal or anything like that. But maybe there's a song that you remember, and it's an oldie but a goodie. Rock of Ages, Just As I Am, To God Be the Glory. Whatever you might have, send me in some ideas, and I'll do my best to kindly let the Spirit of God lead. But I'm having a good time picking these songs, and so I want to give you the opportunity to be a part of it. But that Sunday, April the 12th at 11 o'clock. Also, don't forget our Monday and Friday prayer and devotion time, where we try to give a word of encouragement, but also to kindly just do what the Bible says, and that's that we're to bring everything that we need to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then also, and like I said, Brother J.C. will be doing that, and I want to tell the deacons, my deacons, God's given them to me to be a helpmate, and so I'm thankful for them, but I'm thankful for them and Brother Wayne being here to give those devotions. Also, Brother Ken being faithful and making sure that the Facebook is going out. But don't forget that you also, if you want to, you can go to Thomas Village Baptist Church's Awana Facebook page, and there's weekly updates and activities. Also, until this Friday, the 10th, if you'll go to Silverleaf Baptist Church's Facebook page, nightly at 7 o'clock, there is an internet revival. This Friday at 7, I'll be doing my best to deliver the message that God would have. Pray for me. I at this time have not known anything. But also, I want to challenge you that, or God's not giving me His message. It's not that I need to think it up. I just want God's message. But also, don't forget, don't hesitate to call a deacon, to call me, to call my wife, and if you have a need, we'll do our best to take care of you. And if you need us to go get groceries, we don't even have to see you. We can just leave that groceries on your front porch if you'll let us know what your need is. Also, thank you to everyone that is bringing their tithes and sending their tithes. It is amazing, and thank you for being faithful, and I know that God is going to bless you in it, okay? All right, so you've heard enough of my rambling tonight. Let's go and get into our scripture, okay? What we're going to do tonight is we're going to try to get from verse 13 to verse 20 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So tonight I'm going to read all 20 verses to kindly bring it together, and then we'll move on in our study, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that, we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tries our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God, and you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you who believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus Christ and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown, and our rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. And may God add the blessings to his scripture. Let's just kind of catch up a little bit. And then what Paul says here between verses 13 and 20, he's kindly already elaborated on from in chapter 1, and so I'm not going to try to rehash it, but I'm just going to kindly explain it, and then next week we'll pick up in chapter 3 where he goes on to talk about how Timothy's report, how that the church is growing, and he mentions the people within the church. But the church at Thessalonica came about by a mighty work of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the Apostle Paul, as well as the ministries of Timothy and Silas in the city of Thessalonica. In Acts chapter 17, we're told that some from the synagogue, and we know that that's what Paul's tradition was, when he would go into a new city, when he would go into a new place, you see it there in Thessalonica, you see it there in Berea. Now, you don't see it in Corinth, because he meets with Lydia, the seller of purple, down by, I think, a stream or a river. And the reason is there, most people believe that there was not a synagogue there in Corinth. And so what he did was he joined with where the local Jewish or Israelite people would be, and he would begin to expound on the Old Testament and how that Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy. And we're told that some from the synagogue there in Thessalonica believed, as did many God-fearing Greek, and then it goes on to say that a number of prominent women or well-known women, whether they had position in Thessalonica or maybe their family had position, but we see that there were Jews and Greeks, men and women of high stature and of low stature. So God is doing a great work, and that's the way that the church is supposed to look. It's supposed to be from every economical level, red and yellow, black and white. It doesn't matter if you're from the north, from the south, or from the east, or from the west. All of us have been called by Christ Jesus. And that's what's so amazing about Thomas Village. Was it not for the love and salvation of Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be the pastor here. I wouldn't know many of the people that I consider to be my best friends today. And a lot of the people that are a part of this church really wouldn't hang out with each other had it not been, and if it was not for salvation and the love of Christ Jesus. So the leaders, we see that God's doing a great work, but then the leaders from the synagogue, those in Judaism, the temple workers, and those that practice Judaism saw this quote-unquote new religion and how it was catching fire there in Thessalonica, and it was taking away some of their members. And they were jealous over those members, and they didn't want to lose those members. So what did they do? They got mad. And then the religious leaders stirred up a mob of the questionable sort, or basically just criminals. And what they did was they ran Paul, Silas, and Timothy out of Thessalonica, and they went on to Berea. And God was doing a work in Berea. But when those Jewish leaders and the mob found out what was going on there, they went down to Berea. And they ran Paul out of Berea into Athens. And it seems like that Paul and Silas and Timothy hung around for a little while, but later on, Silas and Timothy joined Paul in Athens. But knowing the fragile state of this young church, the fragile state of these young believers, now think about it. Paul, Silas, and Timothy's been run out of town. Some of these folks that were new converts, new believers in Christ, had came out of Gentile religions, and we know also out of Judaism. And so what you think's going on? The Jewish leaders and the pagan priest and priestesses would go back and say, okay, we'll forgive you just as long as you come back to us. And Paul, Timothy, and Silas had a concern for the young church. And so later on, Timothy returned back to Thessalonica to serve and to guide this fledgling church. What is amazing in all this is that the young church was united, committed, and unlike other churches, specifically the church in Corinth, Paul says that this young church was an example. If you look there in chapter 1, verse 7, it says, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So this young church, this fragile church, was a model for other churches. And that's kind of been the theme of our study. As we've moved on, we're taking a look, or we're studying at what a model church looks like. And there in the book of the first chapter, we see traits of a model church. In verse 1, the first part of verse 1, we see committed and faithful leadership in the church. That is Paul, Timothy, and Silas. And then at the end of verse 1, there in chapter 1, we see a concern and a committed people. Those that accepted Jesus Christ. You have leaders that are committed, and you have members that are committed. And then we move on into the latter verses there, and we see that the leaders and the members had proper motivation. It says that they had works of faith, meaning that because the people of Thessalonica, the Christians there, believed in Christ, believed that He loved them unconditionally, believed that He died for their sins, believed that He rose on the third day, and also believing that He is coming again to judge us, they worked out their faith, or they displayed their faith in their actions. But it also says that they had a labor of love. Work and labor are kindly different there. The idea of labor means to willingly toil, to willingly exert effort to the extent of sweating because of the love that they had for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus Christ labored for them when He walked up Calvary's hill with the cross on His back so heavy that they had to get another to carry it for Him. When He laid His hands down and the nails were drunk. That didn't feel good. It was a task. It was a job. But yet He went on in that labor out of His love for the Father and His love for you and I. And then it goes on to say that they have an enduring hope. These motivations, a work of faith, a labor of love, and an enduring hope, or the ability to withstand and continue in the face of persecution. And they were being persecuted. They were being beat on. But another, the fourth trait of a model church is that these actions, this work of faith, labor of love, enduring through hope, is evidence of their salvation. James said, "Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." We're not saved by works, but we're saved to works. In Ephesians, it says that we have been saved to do good, which He has already laid out before us. Then we see that this church was a place where the Word and the presence of the Holy Spirit was evident. This is one of my biggest fears and concerns, is that the Spirit of God will depart and the Word of God will no longer be powerful, but yet we get so caught up in the motions of religion that we don't even recognize it. And I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit still moves at Thomas Village Baptist Church, and we need to always, always be mindful of that. We see that the leadership practiced what it's preached in verse 5. And then in verse 6, we see also that the membership practiced what was preached. And then in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1, we see that the church at Thessalonica had a lively and lasting testimony, that other people were talking about what God was doing in Thessalonica. And then lastly, of the spirit, the character traits of the model church, we see that the Christians in Thessalonica lived their lives based on the promises of God. I promise you this, tonight when I picked that song, I literally just opened up the book and it fell to standing on the promises. But in the midst of these times, think about it. Those people there at Thessalonica, they were facing persecution. They were being run down. They were being pressured. But in the midst of that, they trusted God's Word. You know, in times where we cannot understand what we're seeing, we can always trust the love of our Creator. And that's what these people did, and that's what we have to do during these times of instability. And then the last couple of Wednesday nights, we have studied chapter 2. And here we moved on from studying the traits of the church, and we began to study, as we're looking at the model church, we begin to focus on the pastor of a model church, or the genuine God-called sincere preacher. A common statement which I believe rings true, and you may have heard it as well, is, as goes the pastor, so goes the church. Or if a pastor is seeking Christ, seeking to grow in the Lord, and seeking to be faithful, then guess what? More than likely, that will be a church where the people are there seeking Christ, wanting to go, wanting to grow in the Lord, and wanting to be faithful in their service to Him. But on the other hand, if you have a pastor that is complacent, unmotivated, and uncommitted, guess what? You're likely going to have a congregation that is complacent, unmotivated, and uncommitted. Now, there's always exceptions. I know that there are preachers that are preaching their hearts out, but yet the congregation just seems to be complacent and happy where they're at. And there are places where people are hungering for the Word of God and wanting to grow, but the pastor seems to have lost his fire. And so we see this in chapter 2. We see the importance of a God-fearing, genuine, sincere pastor. In verse 1, we see that a pastor must continuously bring the focus back on what God is doing. If you'll notice that every night that we are here, we try to begin it with praise reports. Why? Because we as human individuals always will focus on the negative more than we will the positive. You don't have to look hard to find the negative. Sometimes you have to look past the negative to see what God is doing. And then in verse 2, we see that a pastor must boldly preach in the face of difficulties. He must stay with the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Paul told the preacher Timothy, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myth." In our day, culture and contemporary thought pushes pastors to preach feel-good messages, inspirational preaching with catchy slogans, without confronting sin, without confronting holiness, and without making people uncomfortable. But praise God, when you look at Jesus, When you look at Paul, when you look at Peter, people were not comfortable when they preached. Why? Because they preached the truth of God. And people, when we look at the mirror of Christ Jesus, if we truly look into it, we're not going to like what we see. But also, think about the church at Thessalonica. It was the truth of Christ Jesus that had brought the power to save. It was the truth of Christ Jesus that empowered Paul, Silas, and Timothy to minister in the face of persecution. It was the truth of Christ Jesus that empowered the change in those new converts, the ones that were from the synagogue, the ones that were Greek, and those prominent with women. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And it is the truth of Christ Jesus that will continue to keep His people in the midst of difficulties, uncertainty, and persecution. So we move on and we see that a pastor must preach and teach with pure intent. Paul told us that there's many reasons why people preach. Many reasons why people teach. Some was because they wanted to add to Paul's burdens. Other, because they thought that they could do a better job. And then there are those that preach it out of pureness. But the pastor that is seeking to follow Christ, that is sincere, God-called, and genuine, will preach and teach with a pure heart. And then we move on into verse 4 of chapter 2. Here we see that a pastor must understand that he is a steward over the gospel of Jesus Christ. A steward is a person appointed by the master to watch over his household goods, to care for and oversee his treasures and valued belongings, and he has been placed over that. The Bible teaches us that as pastors, we are watchmen over His people, and we are to guard His word. We need to recognize how valuable the word and His people are, and we need to handle it as such. In verse 4 and 5, we see that a pastor must have a God-fearing heart. He must have a God-fearing heart. The ultimate and only goal of the pastor is not to please the congregation. It's not to increase the tithes. It's not even for him to try to grow the church and have more members. His duty, the pastor's duty, is simply to obey the master, to care for and protect the master's possessions, and to declare the truth and honor the master. Here are a few things that a sincere, God-fearing pastor will not do. He will not tiptoe around controversial subjects. He will not attempt to appease or tickle the ears of the people by neglecting sin and righteousness. He will not seek approval. He will not knowingly seek approval of a congregation by dancing around subjects. He will not use his position or the pulpit for personal, political, or financial gain. He will not use the position or the pulpit to secure a paycheck or income. He will not try to pass his own thoughts, the latest trends, as the truth of God. We'll be moving into the new scripture. A pastor, in verse 6 of chapter 2, must be selfless rather than self-centered. Then in verses 7 and 8, we see that a pastor must be a nurturer. He needs to be tender, warm, affectionate, caring. Paul uses the picture of a nursemaid or a mother with her infant child as she feeds and holds and tightly grasps and loves that child. The pastor must be that type of leader in the church. And we go on a little bit further, and we hold on just a second. I've lost my notes here. All righty. Well, guess what? I've missed it anyway. And so, but as we move on, look there in verse. I think we're at verse 8. In verses 11 and 12, we see that the pastor will encourage and uplift the people that are around him and encourage him. And so now we come to the point to where we're wrapping up this portion. And I just want to kind of go through this real quick, and then we'll see you Sunday. We'll see you Friday night. But let's look at verse 13. I'm going to read it out of the Christian Standard. Listen what it says. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God which works effectively in those who believe. And we can go all the way back over to chapter 1. And it talks about how that in verse 6 it says, and you became followers of us. Verse 5. And our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. We see that they received the word of God, that when the pastor was doing what he was supposed to be doing, and the congregation or the people of the church accepted the truth as it was preached, what happens? Then you have a church that is alive, a church that is growing, a church that has the power of God on it. Look there in verse 14. It says, for you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you also suffered the same things from people of your own country, just as did the Jews. Now, what do we see here? We see that, now remember, when they're around Pentecost, when we see that great move of God, well, guess what? The people began to reject the Jews, the leadership, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. They didn't like this new religion. That's why they killed Jesus. And so then they started persecuting the believers there. They, just like they did in Thessalonica. Remember, it was the synagogue leaders that rounded up this mob, that ran them out of town. The same thing happened over in the church at Judea and in Jerusalem. Remember, Paul, he would take money from other Gentile churches and send it back so that the church in Jerusalem and Judea could continue on. But I want you to look there in verse, and you see how this is kind of just a wrap up of what we've already studied in verses 1 and 2, or chapters 1 and 2 up to verse 12. Look in verses 15 and 16. It says, talking about the Jews, he says, who killed the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets and persecuted us. They despise God and are hostile to everyone by keeping us from speaking to Gentiles so that they may be saved. As a result, they are filling up their sin to the limit, and the wrath of God will overtake them at last. So we see that even in the face of difficult times, a church that is committed and a people that is committed to Christ are serving Him, are standing on His promises and taking what He says as truth and letting it dictate their lives, will not only get through difficult times, but can also become out better at the end of them. Now think about it. This church has had a hard time from the first one being saved until Timothy came back. But in the midst of it all, people were getting saved. People were coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And something else, as we look in verse 17 and 18, this church had a strong unity. They were bonded together through the Spirit and through salvation in Christ. Look at verse 17. This one has really struck my heart today, and you'll understand why in just a second. It says, but as for us, brothers and sisters, after we were forced to leave you for a short time. Folks, I want to tell you, that right there is how I feel today as your pastor. It is difficult not being with you. I don't like us not being able to be together. It's a trying time, but praise God, it's going to be worth it. And God has something in store for us through this thing. And I believe that we'll come out stronger. Notice what Paul says. He says, though I was forced to leave you for a time. And then he said, in person, but not in heart. I'm going to be honest with you today. When I came up here this morning and they were handing out the meals, I just wanted to see some activity in the church. I look forward to coming down here. And today, Brother JC came and we had a little time. I saw Brother Scott, Carter, and his wife, and I see Brother Ken and other deacons. And I'm telling you, that's so refreshing to me. It lifts me up. But notice he says, though we were forced to leave you for a short time, in person, not in heart, we greatly desired and made effort to see you face to face. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. This thing that we're doing Sunday, we're having the parking lot resurrection service. What am I looking forward to? Well, I'm looking forward to worshiping. I'm looking forward to celebrating the resurrection. And Christ must always be number one. But you know what else I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to seeing your face. A lot of you I've not seen in about a month now. So if you can come out, you come out and we'll worship the Lord. But notice this unity that they had as it continues in verse 18. It says, so we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan has hindered us. And I believe this thing that's going on in this world right now, though God is the authority and the power of it all, I believe we know that Satan is a liar and a killer and a murderer, but it's only for a season. And then lastly, in verses 19 and 20, this church was a treasure. These people were a treasure, not only to Paul, but also to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says. He said, for who is our hope? Who is our joy? Who is our crown of boasting? Or what is it that I boast of in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again? And look what he says. Is it not you? Remember the loving mother, the tending father. If you look there in verses 11 and 12. And that's the way I pray that you know tonight, Thomas Village, that I'm proud of you. I'm thankful to be your pastor. And praise God, there's coming a day where I'll stand before the Lord for the ministry that I've had here. And I just want you to know that this time being separated, me not being able to come and worship together, it can be difficult. It leaves us feeling empty. But you know what? How great is it going to be, number one, when the Lord comes again and we're reunited and never be taken away from His presence, but also this, even this Sunday at 11 o'clock, that we'll be able just to look aside of us, look behind us, look ahead of us. And though we may not can shake their hands, we'll see our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want you to know, Thomas Village, that you are my joy. You do give me hope. And I am thankful and proud of Thomas Village Baptist Church, and I'm glad that God called me here. Lord willing, don't forget, Friday night, 6 o'clock, Brother J.C. will be giving us a devotion. Then at 7 o'clock, go to Silverleaf Baptist Church's Facebook page, and you can listen to me or you can cut me off. But never forget, no one loves you like Jesus. No one's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open up your heart and life to Him today, He'll do even more than you can imagine. I love you. God bless you. Good night.